Yeah. If I was a rapping baby, I would still be riding Mercedes. My new is less so related. My old bitch was overrated. If you pop that pill, remember niggas fold like 150s. If you want that cup, remember niggas fold like. When I'm working the average, ass and fire inside the whip. When I'm done, I'ma pass around the cash, go buy some more. If I hit the lip gas and crash and die, we're down to smoke. When I'm working the average, ass and fire inside it.
Hey. Dirty nigga got soul like enzyme. Snuck 2 pounds on the inside. Hey, trapping out the mask on.
Welcome to the pod. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB Ski. He's King at Jeromney. Well, what do you talk about when there's nothing to talk about? This is like, it's weird because it feels like a summer month of, like a summer time of sports where there's only the middle of the baseball season, and you come up with lists, which we come up with dumb lists every week anyways, but you know what I mean, like your top, your Heisman, or not your Heisman, your Mount Rushmore lists and all that kind of stuff. But you know, I was kind of looking through and noticed that there was actually some stuff that happened for the Ducks this week football wise. And then the NFL playoffs are actually, they're literally next week. So, you know, we do have stuff to talk about. COVID hasn't shut down everything, even if, you know, college basketball and the Blazers are like not something we're ready to talk about yet because they're not exactly happening.
I wish COVID shut the Blazers down for good.
Yeah, if only, right? Mm-hmm. They are grasping at Simons having a big game the other day. Like it was so funny because they won, he scored all those points, and then they followed that up with a horrible loss and another horrible loss, because that's what the Blazers do right now. They're not good at basketball.
At least Simons was scoring again, which just proves that he is slightly below CJ.
Right.
So with the second CJ's healthy, you ship his ass off somewhere. And Nurk could go whenever.
I don't know. I don't know.
Shit, at this point, Dame could go too.
I don't know what you
just
do.
Blow it up. Blow
I
it
don't
up.
Know what you do with that team, yep. Other than blow it up, right? Like, mm-hmm. But so that's the thing, is like coming into this season where like Dame is literally the only piece you keep. Like you can throw everything away. Now Neil Olshey is gone, so you know you can throw everything away. Try to, you know, throw a bunch of talent at a big name, try to bring in that big name, whatever. We're just, something has to change. And then this season has gone on. They've been bad. Dame has been bad. Dame has been banged up. And so suddenly you're like, well, he's the only positive about the whole fucking roster. Like, what do you do now?
I don't even think Dame has been a real positive this year. I think Powell is a positive. I think maybe Little could be a positive in the future. Not enough to like not trade him, but it is a positive.
This is what I was going to say about Simons. It's like somebody
Simons
has
is a positive.
Well, this is what I'm saying, is like somebody has to get those numbers. And so I'm not convinced they're actually good. It's just that somebody has to score. And if Dame isn't scoring, and you know, CJ's out for extended periods of time, somebody has to get points.
Well, if you've seen some of these COVID games, sometimes they don't get points. Yeah. A lot of teams scoring like 80 points in a game right now with some of these like depleted rosters. Here's my question posed to you guys. Would you guys trade Dame?
I feel like if we answer that question with a yes right now, it's us reacting emotionally. Well,
I'll start it off. Yes, yeah. I would.
Yeah. Why would you trade him right now?
Because I think you could get max value for him right now.
Right now?
Right now. You could, yes, because he still has control.
No.
I think he's what, 34, 33?
He's 32.
Yeah, 32? Yeah.
I mean, you could kind of see it coming here in the, you know, not too distant future, that his game's going to be sliding pretty hard.
I think you trade him in the offseason.
In the off season? All right. I mean,
because you wait for the team that thinks they're that close. I know you can say, oh, a team think they're that close right now. Mm. But yeah, I think you wait till the off. You tank, get a top four pick. I'd shut them down. I don't even watch them.
No.
I mean, I know I said that before, but I don't watch them. Like, I asked my kids like last week again. You guys want to go to a Blazer game? And they were like, only if Dame's playing.
They're damn near giving away seats too.
Shit. I know. Yeah. And that's the thing, is I know I could buy like 200 level seats for like $15. And they were like, not really. No CJ, no Dame. Now we're they don't even care if they win or lose. They
it's
do not.
It's not, no. It's not worth the drive.
See, yeah. They just want to see a star that they play with on two.
See, that's the thing. If you're trading away Damian Lillard, what are you going to get that's going to get people excited about the team? Are you going to trade for draft picks? Because draft picks are fucking worthless. Unless they're like the number one pick.
Well, Shea is no longer there, so maybe they might not be worthless.
But I'm saying, like, the draft is such a crapshoot after, like, six or seven that if you're not getting one of those picks, what's the point? If you're not getting several of those picks, what's the point?
Well, they would need multiple. I mean, there aren't too many big blockbuster trades with, you know, star players involved. It's always going to be picks. There's not too often a star for a star kind of trade.
That's the only way the Blazers are going to get stars, though, is if they
But we're not there. Yeah. That is done.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about getting strong.
So they're talking rebuild.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right. Blow it up, rebuild. That's it.
Right.
When we were talking about trading for Harden or Ben Simmons, okay, that was a thing. They're not doing it. They're just not. It's a rebuild. It's a teardown. And Dame will have to go. I don't think you trade him midseason. I think you wait. I think you just shut it down.
If you're rebuilding,
I always thought midseason, you can always people overvalue players more if they think he's the missing piece, like you said. So that's why I always say sometimes those midseason trades you get more bang for your buck than in the offseason.
But you're also it's a narrow lane at that. You know what I mean? Like
it is.
Look at the Pelicans and Lakers trade. Pelicans stink, but they got a shit ton of like. Top five picks for that bump.
Right. By the way, you get like Dame sniffs the word rebuild. He's gone. He's asking to be traded. Like, you know, he has said he's not that kind of guy in the past. He is that kind of guy. He's not going to sit around while a team rebuilds. It's not going to happen. He's 31. He's 31 years old, by the way.
Like I said, in his game, it's been, I don't know how much is him kind of not caring about this season now, or if his game is actually slipping, but he has not looked good when he has been healthy and playing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think some of it's kind of a lie, but he has said that core injury has been like a 2-year.
Yeah.
Which would go into the bubble, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's kind of nuts that there's been three NBA seasons, 16.
If Dame gets traded, how long do you think it would take to become interested in the Blazers again?
Depends if they get an exciting draft pick.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yeah. I mean,
have to be, like, what
Rockets fans are excited about their roster.
Yeah, like Christian Wood, it's like, they're not good. Blazers don't have to be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some other, that G League guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
But
I tell you what, you bring in Joe Young to replace Dame, then I'll start watching. Give me some Joe Young.
I will say these kind of injuries and COVIDs to like Dame and CJ, it's kind of shown. I mean, if you look at like Ben McLemore has been averaging like 15 points a game.
Huh?
It goes to show really where they're missing. What we've been saying since we've been on this start of this podcast, they're missing those 6'10 guys. Because you could pull some of these dime a dozen guards in to give you 15 points. you know, Simons, if Simons plays CJ Mintz, he's going to average 20 points. And yet they keep, that's all they keep rebuilding on is just having these guards.
Now, a question as old as time. If Ben McLemore scores 15 points and nobody sees it, did it really happen? If he averages 15 points, nobody watches it. Does it really happen? Pro basketball reference is telling me it happened. The numbers. All right, that's we have talked way more Blazers than I expected to talk.
You said we needed some.
Yeah, are we filling? Is that what we're filling?
I thought you said we needed some filler here.
We're so filling at the start of the podcast.
Yes, we are.
I don't think that's the way it's supposed to work. All right, well, let's transition into Husky tears, because those are always fun. The Ducks picked up a former four-star defensive tackle, a transfer from Washington. Sam Taimani had 43 tackles last year in 11 games, a part of the 2019 class. He was a four-star out of Utah. So apparently, like, Preem posted out that he was graded really high last year or something like that in terms of Pac-12 defensive linemen. Oregon had three of the top five returning next year in Dorless. I forget what his last name is. Number 50. God damn it. That's going to bug me. I'm going to have to look that up while we're talking. But then also, Taimani was fifth. And so you bring in they just lost a kid to the transfer portal at the defensive tackle spot. So they bring him in. That's good. And then you were noticing, King, that Husky fans weren't really taking it well, it seemed, right?
No, because they were blaming it on just absurd stuff. Like, he has no scruples. Where are the morals these days? Back in my day. And then, my favorite, you want to know what? I'm just hearing Kalen DeBoer running a tight ship. He's really cracking down on those drug tests. Awesome. Hey, Washington, if you want to be the program really cracking down on drug tests and morals in 2022 and beyond, do it. Please.
Isn't that what they were all saying about Peterson as well when he came in?
Yes.
Right?
DeBoer's next level.
And Jimmy Lake.
Oh, next level. Yeah.
They weren't saying that about Jimmy Lake.
No.
Kalen DeBoer is really cracking down on that wacky tobacco.
We're still out here talking about marijuana. Like, still? Like, it's last I checked, that shit is legal in both of our states. Both of the states that we're talking about right now, you can go to the store and buy that. Do they test for that for college programs?
Do they? Yes, okay. But it's limited. So that's why Kalen DeBoer is different. Because he's aggressively tested for the giggle pass.
What are we doing? That's funny, though. Like, the fact that they bring that up is as a reason why he's transferring. Like, he's so... Like, he's like addicted to.
He's man, addicted to marijuana.
You in here for some marijuana? This is some bullshit. he's addicted to marijuana to the point where he has to leave Washington and go to Oregon, where they just let that shit fly.
Because the guy who coaches Fresno is a good drug.
Right.
Have you been to Fresno? That San Fernando Valley. Granted, we live in Oregon. You know. We've decriminalized it all.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. The San Fernando Valley, yeah, a lot of drugs. A lot of white drugs.
Oh, yeah. They got the actual ones that'll kill you.
Yes. Like when people walk in, when they bust down doors with ice on the back of their jacket, people aren't sure if it's that or someone different.
Oh,
we
just lost audio for you at the end there. What'd you say?
What about now?
Yeah, we hear you.
We got you.
They didn't know if it was something or whatever. Okay, whatever.
I have a question. So you've been on Twitter also, King. What has been Husky talk about Tosh Lupoi?
Mm. Oh, that Oregon's going to be on probation.
Yeah, soon. I saw a tweet from Softy about that one. Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. They don't realize the NCAA. Washington football has been out of the game for so long, really. Hey, granted, Chris Peterson, he had two good on. He didn't win anything.
Yeah,
they've been out of the game for so long. They still think that the NCAA admonishes programs with penalties. They still think that. Like Roy Williams was like, "Yeah, I run fake classes."
Yeah,
and Art Briles was like, "Yeah, everyone can rape any." Yeah. They were like, "Well, you know what? It's too big for us."
What I see, I just saw a story this week that a kid was offered an NIL deal from a specific person, like a celebrity, offered an NIL deal to the kid to go to the school. And it's literally him saying, I will give you money to go to this school. Like there's no way around the logic for that. Like that's what he is saying. And the kid's like, yeah, all right. I forget the specifics of the situation, but I remember that coming across the timeline and just being like, yeah, it's they don't like the NCAA. Like, not only do they not care about if you're like, you know, paying for a meal for somebody or, you know, connecting somebody off campus who you're not supposed to meet with or whatever. They don't care if you get paid to go to the school. Like, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, well, that's what that is.
I think the rumors online, the Texas A&M had the number one recruits.
Right? Yeah.
Depending on where you look, they either paid an NIL $24 to $28 million for this recruit. It's like, sorry, Washington, the game has changed.
You
want to say you're Stanford and Harvard and Yale, like you guys like to pretend you are. You're not. Cool. That's great. I want another dead program. Just beat B5 and 7. That's awesome. And yep. I wish they get good degrees. Good for them. But you're bad.
That's what I was going to say, man. Like, adapt or die.
Like, but it's just hilarious that, you know, that program that every day you can log on, someone will play 1991. Oh, champions. Yeah, the team that got you put on probation because you were paying players and giving them cards. Why are you the moral arbiter?
I know. You're paying your quarterback, and then your coach ran away like a crybaby when the sanctions happened.
You gave a guy named Billy Joe illegal benefits. Billy Joe, just... If you want to know when Washington was,
yeah, hey, do you have the time?
It's a different time.
Do you have the time to listen to them whine about nothing and everything all at once?
Okay, wake me up.
They are melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it.
Welcome to Paris.
I'm still kind of waiting to see how they're going to attack Lanning.
Yeah,
it will come. They'll find an angle to.
Yeah, he has no credibility because Kirby Smart.
Oh, right. Like, he's not actually a good defensive coach.
Yeah.
It's all Kirby's. Right.
All right.
And, like, technically, like, I mean, he's not going to get Georgia's defense for it. No matter how well.
You're cutting out a little bit. He's not going to get Georgia's what?
Defense.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's just not going to happen.
Just in terms of the players or the success?
Yeah, it's just a geography.
Okay.
But people are like, oh, it's all Kirby's. Kirby Smart's defense. He's a loser. You know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Kirby Smart was apparently that loser, too, at Alabama.
Yep. Lot of people were like, is he he's not actually going to be good at Georgia. Like, what, like,
right.
Kirby Smart? Like, he was Saban's defense was, you know, that's what they'd say. Like, Saban's defense is the reason that Kirby Smart was good.
But just like, even in the league now, we have a good barometer of what a unproven assistant can do when they're given the head coaching job in Lincoln.
Yeah.
He was just a guy. You know, everyone knew he was a good job. And we did the CFP like 3 straight.
Yep. Yep.
So to say that Lanning can't work, it's just.
It's fandom.
It is a gamble for sure. But we don't know. He could be awful.
Very true.
I mean, it's very true. But to just castigate him as Kirby Smart and Will Muschamp.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
In the bowl really game.
You're really bringing in Muschamp into this. Yeah.
Will Muschamp was really doing the heavy work because Dan Lanning was doing some Oregon recruiting. So we have now made Will Muschamp.
I know, of all the guys. I do want to talk about Tosh because Tosh was officially hired as the DC. Also, they announced the amount of money he's making, which I found interesting. 3 years, $5.1 million. For the defensive coordinator, $130K in incentives that he can add to that. So it's $1.7 million per. For contrast, DeRuiter got $825K last year. So it's almost $1 million a year jump in the amount of money you're paying for him. One, let me just preface this by saying he is worth every penny, just in terms of the recruiting aspect of it. We will see if he's going to be a good coach. I think he will be, but I don't know.
See, he's making the same every year.
Yeah.
They gave Jim Levitt.
Oh, is that right? I forgot the amount.
1.7. I think Levitt started at 1.5, left at 1.7.
I feel
and
like
Jim Levitt was a schematic guy.
Yeah. And previously a head coach too.
Right. Yeah. He paid a premium.
Yep.
But he wasn't. Do you remember like a single recruit that Jim Levitt brought in?
No.
No matter how many pictures of Pepsi he took, I feel like he. And I guess if you want to be kind of cool, look at what he's done after.
Yeah.
FAU, FIU, SMU. He's just kind of
completely just
bouncing around here. Just
yeah. Well,
better question. What was? Yeah. Do you know what Tosh was making in the NFL?
I don't. Defensive. Yeah, it must be less. Defensive line coach in the NFL. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be more. So Lanning, his contract 6 years, $29.1 million. That's almost $4.9 million. So I saw somebody mention this the other day too. Like, if you're paying the defensive coordinator almost $2 million per, what do you think they offered Wilcox? Like, if they did indeed offer Wilcox, which it sounds like they did, you know, all things we've heard like lead to them actually hiring Wilcox. Lanning gets paid. First head coaching job ever, almost $5 million per. The DC they're spending money on, you know, not a guy who has had a ton of experience at this, you know, at this level as a DC, 1.7. Do you think they offered? I mean, Wilcox has head coaching experience. He has also been a coordinator. Do you think
just for context, UW is paying Kalen DeBoer. It's 3.2 as the head coach.
3.2?
Yeah, I believe it's 3.2. So I mean I think they
are so chunky right now, man. your Wi-Fi. We'll take a break here in a second. Your Wi-Fi. Your Wi-Fi needs Wi-Fi.
I don't think it's my Wi-Fi. I think it's my computer.
Okay. I mean,
so if DeBoer is making 3.2, I wonder what the coordinators are making.
Hit it with a hammer. We'll get it working. The coordinators at Washington.
Yeah. I mean, if, Yeah. Bors only make a 3.2, and these guys, they're not the best hires I've seen at a Pac-12 school coming in. They can't be making a ton.
They did release the coaching. I think it's 4.7.
Who got 4.7?
Just the entire assistants.
Okay, the entire Washington assistants together?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oregon is like 7.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Oregon did, you know, officially announce some more coaches this week. So, I mean, the staff is done. But this week they like officially announced the hirings. Let's see, Junior Adams going to coach wide receivers. Speaking of Washington, going to coach wide receivers, also be the co-offensive coordinator, which I also found interesting. I spent previous three years at Washington. Got a shout out on Twitter from Cooper Kupp, who he apparently coached at Eastern Washington.
Huh.
Yep. And so, you know, another guy. It's weird. We keep hearing about these hires for Oregon, and we hear, yeah, he was like the top rated recruiter in 2017 while he was at blah, blah, blah. He was named the top recruiter in the country. It was like, not everybody can be named the top recruiter in the country. How the hell are all of these guys being named the top recruiter in the country?
Maybe for their coaching position, maybe there's different levels of that.
Every time you see that, like, take it with a huge grain of salt, because there's a bunch of people ranking like these recruiters, and they're like, I don't know what it even means anymore. It's like, yes, I hear from the people who cover recruiting that this guy is a good recruiter. So yes, I will take their word for it. That's their job. They cover this thing. If I see a ranking, he was a top rated recruiter on the West Coast in 2017. What the fuck does that mean? Like,
you can kind of look into it and see what it means, but
I could spend the time doing that. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
what does that mean? Does that mean you go look at the rankings?
No. So
do you go look at the guys they put in the NFL?
No, I mean, so like none of us are the biggest recruiting heads in the world, right?
None
of us are. But 247 Sports, I don't know about any of the other ones. I don't ever look at Rivals or Scout or ESPN.
Yeah.
247 or 24/7.
Does Scout still exist?
Yes.
It does.
Okay. It does. I believe, and OM3 is the new one.
Remember my guy Chris Courtney used to write for Scout.
Big CC.
Yeah, man. Miss that guy. Yeah.
Lives down at Scottsdale now, I think.
Scottsdale, right?
Yeah. Friend of the podcast, by the way.
Friend of the pod.
FOB. Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah. But if you do click on like the 247 thing on that, it'll tell you why, and it'll show like the recruits they brought in.
Is it just whatever recruit they're attached to?
Yes.
Right.
And it's like, if there are 5 stars that panned out, it's good. There are 5 stars that didn't, it doesn't
matter, right? That's kind of
the
thing.
It's a little dumb. Yeah, it's a little dumb. But I'm just saying, there is a little bit of they've gotten better at putting a formulaic thing behind it.
All right. Yeah. Because I remember when I spent like a few years into recruiting where I would I'd wake up in the morning, I'd have Twitter open, I'd see the letters of intent that were being brought in and be like, oh, that's cool. Like, mostly when I was like producing the radio show, just because I had to like actually create content for it or whatever. But and so I would notice.
What, our podcast isn't good enough for you to do that here?
No, seriously. No, it's not. No,
oh,
I'm
Jesus.
Not, you expect me to do work throughout the week for this? I sit down like 10 minutes before we start and write out a couple of things, and then we're good to go.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Coming from King, who like creates his list as the podcast is happening.
Yeah. Still don't have the top 3 list for tonight.
We'll get there. All right. Quit pressuring me. But I remember seeing on that list, you know, they would have the assistants' names. So like Scott Frost, for instance, when he was coaching wide receivers, he would be tied to guys who like played defensive tackle sometimes. And so they don't even apparently they don't even recruit their own position fully. So I guess that goes into it, too. Like, I don't even know. But the recruiting world is not something I'm really interested in taking a huge deep dive into.
That's why, again,
we've talked about this. I like that they're bringing in coaches who are into that, and that's their.
Sounds like you're a real OKG.
What does that mean?
You're just a Washington kind of guy.
Oh yeah, no, I'm big into.
Yeah, tradition. You don't care about stars. You just want grit.
I'm big into
just want guile,
tradition, and working hard. Right?
You just want a white guy from Idaho who's going to stick it out for 5 years. You don't care about the stars. You do not care about recruiting rankings, do you?
I don't care about stars. I care about how they do in the Oklahoma drill. That's all.
Yeah, that's right. You want a guy from Burns, Oregon, just out there selling out all time.
No,
they don't put stars.
They don't put stars
in the back of these jerseys.
No.
I don't even want a player with his last name on the back of his jersey because that means it's about him. I just want a team player.
Give me a helmet with just the color on it.
Rivals can't rank guts.
My favorite player is from Scappoose. If you know who I'm talking about, that kind of fits that too.
Unfortunately, I
do. Yeah, wore orange his entire career. okay, so
give me a guy.
Let's see. So wide receiver coach Junior Adams hired to also be the co-offensive coordinator. They brought in, they officially hired the running backs coach who you talked about. King Carlos Lachlan. He's the guy who looks like Aaron Feld, basically. Yeah.
Cop, right?
An absolutely massive human being. The interesting thing about him is he coached last year the running backs at Western Kentucky. That is the first time he actually coached. Like,
it could be concerning.
Period.
Could be a little bit of a red flag.
I know.
Just
so,
saying.
So again, that's one of those hires that is very much going to be a.
You can't say he recruits because he
coached
at Western Kentucky.
That's kind of what I'm saying. He coached running backs at Western Kentucky for 1 year last year.
I will say I did see one of his like first tweets was, I think he tweeted at like every ex-Oregon running back except for LaMichael James.
No. I noticed that too. And so I went to his page. The tweet before that was specifically for LaMichael James.
Oh, all right. I thought it was
I saw that LaMichael list too. I was like,
hilarious.
He's like, I want to get in touch. I want to bring in all the Oregon running back legends. We got to have you in. He like at mentions all of them except for LaMichael. And I was like, oh, dude. Oh, no. That's not a good start. But no, he specifically shouted out LaMichael. So
I'm gonna say maybe he's gonna try to pull these guys in to help with recruiting. Maybe I don't know how he's gonna but he needs help.
Did you guys see that?
He's got a room full of good players though, so at least he's got that going for him.
Are they?
I mean, he's got everybody coming back, probably.
Yeah.
including the guys who were injured though.
Gonna
have Sean Dollars coming back. Gonna have
Sean Dollars.
We'll see. I don't know. Cardwell's coming back. He's got to be better, right? Assuming he actually gets the ball and doesn't transfer away, which could very well happen in the middle of the season next year. I don't know, dude.
What?
Did you guys see that? Mastro isn't following Mario to Miami.
Yeah, he's like not coaching next year, right?
Yeah, he's got some like family health issues.
Family stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to bring up the other transfer that hit this week as well for the Ducks?
Who was that?
Was it Ashford?
Oh, right. Going the other way.
I wasn't on it. I didn't see. Was there a Twitter battle going on about a lot of fans kind of upset? And
Oregon Twitter loves Ashford.
Yeah. They love him.
They loved him. It was
love him, love his mom. Like they're
curious. Yeah.
Yeah. Big programs fans over. Of the Ashford family. Yeah.
But like I've said, he didn't even dress at the end of the year. Yeah. Maybe it was an injury. I don't know.
Well, he didn't finish off in baseball either, right?
No, he quit baseball in spring drills for football, saying he wanted to focus on quarterback, which
Oh, okay.
seemed like a quizzical decision for someone who was very clearly fourth string.
Go make your money playing baseball, dude. You could do that right now.
Well, like, you can't do it right now.
Yeah. A little bit of a lockout situation.
Hopefully in a couple months you could, fair. But not right
now. That's fair. You could do it in a few months. You will be drafted. You will get like $300K in like a signing bonus. You could do that right now, man.
The thing about Ashford that was just so funny, and I think we've mentioned it before.
Crazy good athlete.
Is how was Ashford more popular amongst the fans than Ty Thompson?
Because he had the gimmick. He had the baseball gimmick.
Because there was Jay Butterfield between the two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Butterfield was, did anyone ever mention Butterfield's name? I don't think so. A couple of outliers that were big Butterfield believers.
Yeah. Well, a couple little butter boys, but you know.
Little butter boys.
For the most part, no. They were in the Marge.
There's the next shirt if we ever do another shirt.
Fuck yeah.
And Butterfield ever starts the Butter Boys.
#Butter Boys.
B-O-I-S.
Just a stick of butter with a football sticking in it. That's the image. I cannot. So out of all the guys, I cannot believe Butterfield is still here. I cannot believe it. Like I mean.
Well, Ashford makes sense now that he quit baseball to focus on football.
And he'll go play somewhere.
Yeah. Someone will pick him up to be their starting quarterback, I think. I did. Oh, speaking of quarterbacks,
Butterfield, what?
Where he's just like, he's just a guy with perspective.
Sure.
Where he's like, I'm going to get a free education. We're going to make like a couple.
Maybe 1 year he plays.
Games on injuries. Play a little bit. But.
He's on that Jeff Lockheed.
I get it. I've seen players now. I'm not making the NFL. I'm going to be a CPA. And you want to know what? I'm going to make $220,000 a year. I don't have any student loans.
For the mush.
And I went to Glendale and I went to Miami, you know, for bowl games.
I'm into it, man. And like, I love bringing that up. Like how kids, you know, don't like football's fun for them, but it's not everything for them. And it's like, you know, once they're done, just go. That's fine. Did you ever watch
Blue Mountain State?
I never did.
Oh yeah,
I heard about it.
Yeah, what channel it was on? Like,
TBS.
I think it was Spike TV.
I think it was Spike.
Like
Fusion
maybe. But there's the guy. That kid, it was a 5-star kid, went to Blue Mountain State, which was like, you know, the best, one of the top schools. And all he wanted to do was be a backup. That's all you want to do. Be the backup. We're those kind of guys. We're those players. Team first guys. He just wants to bang chicks and play
they're
backup.
They're all playing at Washington, brother. And yeah.
You just
DeBoer.
Need more Chase Daniels in this world. Some more Matt Moore in this world.
I think the issue
Kobe
with those.
Sets on the
yeah. I think the issue with those guys is they're getting paid $600K a year to do what they're doing.
Yes.
Blue Mountain guys, he's
Hey, Ohio State's 4-string quarterback got paid like $2 million this year.
That's a good point.
And then he transferred to Texas.
That's a good point. That's good that's a good business move.
Someone named Quinn with a mullet got paid $2 million to be a 4-string quarterback.
Love to
college
see
football,
it.
Ladies and gentlemen. It's totally fine.
Did you hear any chirping on Twitter about when Caleb Williamson, when he went to the transfer portal, where the Oregon fans saying they want him to transfer in and Bo Nix will transfer out?
They got Bo Nix, brother.
Yeah, it was a lot of, why do we have Bo Nix? We could have had Caleb Williams. And Caleb Williams is not coming to Oregon because Oregon is not a national title contender. And Caleb Williams just played against Oregon. And yeah. Caleb Williams knows that Oregon, hey, you want to be cute? Hey, maybe you'll make a Rose Bowl. You want to know what? No one cares about a Rose Bowl.
I mean, TV ratings kind of tell me I'm lying there because
it's yeah.
but you know what I mean? It's not for a title. And Caleb Williams is playing for a title. He's
I was going to say, it's funny you say that because he's going to USC if he's going anywhere.
The funny thing about that is people that aren't even USC fans that are like, why would Caleb Williams go to USC? They have Jackson Dart. And I'm like, we did this. We're doing this with Jackson Dart already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we did it with Slovis.
Heisman Trophy candidate preseason. Yeah,
we did it. We do it with all of them.
Yes.
Why?
He had a really good half against Washington State. Didn't
he did,
you see
yes.
it, bro?
Yeah, I didn't. You want to know why I didn't see it? Because I remember the day they played.
Yeah.
Because I was in a rainstorm hiding before Oregon played Stony Brook.
That's right.
That's
right. You were in the Autzen Stadium parking lot.
Yes,
under
hiding.
A tarp for 5 hours.
Yes, it was so bad. That's the only reason I remember they played that day.
Is that another one of those games where you didn't go into the stadium?
No, I did because I had okay. seats.
Yeah, Ski, weren't you fishing or something? I forget. You were fishing for
one game. No, I don't think it was that game.
Okay.
No, I was fishing for Ohio State.
Oh, that's right. Out of all the games.
Stony Brook, I was sitting comfortably in my house, dry and warm. So
I was, for Stony Brook, I was sitting in club seats without a mask because that's what you do when you're in the club seats. But when you go into the normie section, you better mask up. They'll make you.
How did this happen? How did we just start a game of where were you when Oregon played Stony Brook?
Jackson Dart, baby. Caleb Williams.
We're going to look at it 20 years.
Do you remember the Stony Brook mascot?
I was like, where were you when Ty Thompson threw that touchdown pass to Thornton?
Stony Brook was like the Seawolves?
Yes. Seawolves. I'm shocked you guys remember that.
Well, I did make trivia, and that was one of the questions on there, I think.
Well, we were trying to decipher what a seawolf was, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Did we figure that out?
No.
Yeah.
I think it's like a quadrupedal seahawk, basically. Yeah. A seahawk is a bipedal sea thing, and a seawolf is a quadrupedal. Is that a thing? Quad pedal.
I just kind of I imagine a seawolf being like a dog that can operate a boat.
But like they're located in like the Bronx,
like of all places.
There is not a wolf around there.
I know
they do have a sea kind of close because I think the Bronx is technically on Long Island, so it's surrounded by the sea.
Like you remember,
there are no wolves. Let alone sea wolves hanging around the Bronx.
That sounds like an old timey jargon for like a sailor, like a seawolf. Yeah, some guy was like,
easy
seawolf. But they actually have a wolf as their mascot. Yeah. I like, by the way, when I said like a dog that could operate a boat, I pictured the squirrel on water skis. You know that like video from like 20 years ago? Yeah, the squirrel on water skis. That's what I pictured. Is a dog on water skis. That's what a seawolf is.
just speaking of the sea and wolves and grizzled vets, did either of you guys see the 2019 classic, The Lighthouse?
I did.
What'd you think of it?
It was like super fucking weird.
Okay.
It was. Is it good? I don't know. I don't know.
Don't know either.
Genuinely don't know.
Okay. I watched it the other week.
Yeah. Like, right.
Huh. This is dark.
Yep.
And
is that the one with all the memes with like Willem Dafoe and Pattinson?
Pattinson.
Yes.
It was black and white.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. It was like there's a lot of memes from it. I'm pretty sure.
Yes. Watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but put on sweats, thermals, and like a hoodie. You're just gonna feel cold.
It's such a trip.
It's such a trip.
It's weird, man. It's really weird. Like this, it's about the slow decline of the mind of Robert Pattinson's character. it's pretty fascinating.
Do I need to take some herbal enhancements to enjoy it more?
No. Yeah, watch it sober. It's way worse.
Yeah, you don't need it.
It's dark and gross, and
it is.
I think someone's a chronic masturbator or something in it.
I think one of them gets hit with the aftermath of that. I seem to remember. Yeah, that's the thing that happens in that movie.
Yeah,
Please tell me this movie is them together, like living in a lighthouse.
That's it.
Yeah. Two.
That's it. Oh God! Yeah. All right.
Yep. Yeah, and you just the damn sound of the lighthouse.
Yeah, constant noise. Yeah.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah. I tried to watch
it as a Christmas pick me up right before Christmas this year. It was not a pick me up.
It's a Christmas movie, right?
Yeah, it's a holiday classic
for the whole family. Could you imagine watching that with a kid?
No.
Jesus Christ.
No. I could barely watch it.
Yeah, I know.
Another consenting adult.
That's what the movie is about, Ski. It's about like Willem Dafoe's character being there and then something happening to the guy, his partner. Like, I think he just left, or that's the sense you get. But like Pattinson's character replaces this guy and they live together operating the lighthouse.
It's a lighthouse.
Yeah. That's it. And that's what the movie's about.
Kind of how I know lighthouses. I don't think you do a whole lot there, do you?
Nope, but
you got to be there.
But the way
shovel coal.
Yeah, but the way it was explained by Willem Dafoe's character is that you need one person to do one thing at a specific time while the other person is doing another thing at a specific time or something. And so, like, they actually had to have two people there to do it.
Was this somehow a Wes Anderson movie? It's kind of.
I forget the director. It wasn't Wes Anderson. No. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, very dry humor between the two.
Robert Eggers is the director.
Yeah. And then there's some weird thing about like Willem Dafoe's character being super territorial about the actual light itself. Like the upper area where the light actually is, like nobody else is allowed to go up there. And then the big reveal is fucking weird.
This might have to be our first movie we review next week.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Ski, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Let's review The Lighthouse.
There you go.
It's a holiday classic.
By the way, that's a thing we can add to this podcast that I would absolutely fucking love is we all watch a movie the week prior and then we review that movie.
I think we have to because of COVID.
Yeah. I'm saying
we can't talk about duck basketball.
That's true.
No,
that's true.
Football's over. Baseball's on pause.
All right. Let's make a plan. Let's make a plan for that. So maybe not The Lighthouse just because we talked about it for like 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But
hey, listeners, if you got anything, if three of you say the same movie in consensus,
we'll take suggestions and then put out a poll.
Yeah.
I'll throw one out there so maybe the listeners will agree and get the number. You guys ever see the movie Chairman of the Board?
No. Who's in it?
Carrot Top.
Oh, yes.
Do you know of a place you can watch that?
Yes. Is this streaming somewhere?
It's definitely no way it's streaming anywhere, but it's probably free somewhere.
Oh, shit. I just saw there's a HBO Max just released a documentary about Super Dave, the Bob Einstein.
Yeah,
yes.
It's good. It's really good. I didn't know his brother was or is Albert Brooks.
Yes. And you want to know why he changed his last name to Brooks?
I forget.
Because you don't want to be Albert Einstein.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah,
it's a smart move on his part.
Smart move.
I guess that makes
sense. Albert Brooks had a good career, I feel like.
Yeah.
He had a very fine
career. But if he was Al Einstein?
Al Einstein, yeah, that's true.
It pales in comparison.
He did go by Al, to be fair. So he would have been Al Einstein.
Okay.
Well, you have to go by Al. You can't go by Al.
Exactly. That's a good movie, by the way. I recommend it. Super Dave was cool, man. Bob Einstein.
I only watched part of it.
Right.
The my favorite thing about that was taking away that he did the Jimmy Kimmel joke.
Yep.
And then Jimmy Kimmel didn't realize that he did the exact same joke
on Carson.
On Carson, like 30 years before.
And then he called him about it, and he's like, "Yeah, nobody knows. Nobody has saw it back then. Who cares?" And he's like, "Yeah, you're totally right. You're right. Nobody is alive who watched Carson back then. So you're good." Yeah, reusing bits on talk shows. So good. All right, so at TSB Pod, at TSB Ski, at Jeromney, I imagine you're probably going to get the most responses, King. But let us know, and we'll give us your movie suggestions. We'll talk about it next week.
And liberal Hollywood big time bullshit movies. They have to be
what, like Look Up?
Which one? Right.
What's that one?
No. Which one's that?
The Netflix movie?
Was that the Sandra Bullock one?
No, it just came DiCaprio. Out. DiCaprio.
Oh, the DiCaprio.
Adam McKay. That's right. You guys haven't watched that?
I haven't. No.
Oh, okay.
Is it good?
I told you we've been.
It's long.
That's a good review.
Well, no, like I thought it was okay.
Okay.
But I think I'm in the I think I'm in the minority. I don't think people liked it.
Interesting.
I thought it was maximum like corny 2021, you know?
Right.
You know, you got your concert to raise awareness, you know, I don't know.
I mean, DiCaprio doesn't miss very often. So that's a rarity. And
Jennifer Lawrence. It was a huge ass cast.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So by the way, like if you want to give Blockbuster ones too, like that's fine. I mean, the worst we'll do is say no. So yes, like,
we won't say no.
Yeah. If you have a suggestion, like shoot it at us on Twitter.
Armageddon.
Yeah. I have never seen Armageddon. I have never seen, he just took his headphones off so he can't hear me. I have never seen Titanic.
Oh,
yeah. Titanic though is like 5 hours long, so that makes more sense. But yeah,
you've never seen Armageddon.
Never seen Armageddon. Never seen Titanic. I don't have an interest in seeing those movies. They don't look good. Is Armageddon good?
Armageddon's good.
You tell me Armageddon is good. That's what you're telling me.
Well, transfer yourself back 25 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give or take, you're there. Yeah.
So what you're telling me is that it holds up after 25 years?
I don't know. I haven't seen it in 25 years whenever it came out. So
well, maybe
it's been a while.
Well, maybe we do watch Armageddon for next week.
Well, I know you'll like this, Braga, is that me and my girlfriend have been going through and watching all the Marvel movies.
Oh, I've seen that. She has had
I know.
She has had some
I feel
pretty,
like she hates them all.
She has had some pretty horrible takes on them on Twitter. She said Thor Ragnarok was trash, which is Thor Ragnarok's probably the best Marvel movie. So that is an extremely hot take.
Ragnarok the Casbah.
Yeah. Ragnarok the boat with Marvel fans. It's going to piss off like everybody. I mean, it's like Ragnarok and Guardians of the Galaxy. And I guess you'd have to throw like Endgame in there. Those are like the Marvel movies people like the most in general. And so that's saying Ragnarok wasn't good is a very hot take.
I'll say Ragnarok was okay.
Is the Ocean Guy a Marvel movie?
The what?
The Ocean Guy.
Aquaman?
Yeah, the hot Ocean Guy.
No, he would be he's DC Universe.
He's DC? Okay. Yeah. See? I don't know. Really?
He's the
So we got Batman and a hot ocean guy in the same universe.
Yep, Batman, hot ocean guy.
Superman, right?
Listen, Superman.
Gotham and the Hudson River are not compatible. There's no hot ocean guy in the Hudson.
Right.
Or in the Atlantic, really. Hot ocean guys are only in the Pacific
guy.
Or like the
Gulf. Oh, yeah.
He's down in Cuba.
I'm confused.
He's down in the Gulf.
We got to build that fucking wall down there and keep the hot ocean guys out. They're definitely coming from
seriously,
the hole.
They've ruined it for everyone. God, I watched that movie for the first time like 3 years ago in Sacramento, and every woman in the house was like, calm down. It's just it's CGI.
Speaking
He's
of.
Not, Jason Momoa is not that hot.
Speaking of oceans, that theater must have been an ocean.
Yeah. 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 I was like, thank God it's 100 degrees because every leaking thing is just evaporating. Stains on the couch. Calm down, ladies.
And he's married to Lisa Bonet, too, man.
It's a good looking couple.
Got it all going for him, man. I think we've talked about that like three times on this podcast now.
Well, I mean, how could you?
What, Momoa and Lisa Bonet? Or
yeah, I think specifically that.
Yeah. I don't know who's hotter. Huh? I do. It's Momoa.
Yeah, it's definitely Jason Momoa. It's
definitely Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, would you guys have been shocked if you ever heard that they live in Portland?
No.
Do they?
I think they easily could. I don't know if they do or not, but they easily could.
I don't
could.
Think they do.
Because I feel like they probably have an open relationship, too.
Oh, 100%.
100%.
I would find it really hard to believe that most, like, major Hollywood actors and actresses don't. I mean, it's just it seems like a uphill battle. And when you're in that line of work in that world. Okay, should we do our list, I guess? I mean, I do have a few, like, I guess we could talk NFL playoffs, but I mean, I don't know. Do you want to?
Well, Bing's the only one sitting on not needing to worry about this one.
No, we need to win. We need to win.
What do you guys? I thought you guys were locked in for the home field.
No, because they lost. They lost to the Bengals. So they got to scrape their way around to the number two seed and hope the Texans beat those fuckers, those dastardly Titans. No one wants to see the Titans in the Super Bowl.
Well, Derrick Henry is supposed to be coming back at least.
So the Colts are in, right, Ski?
Nope. They got to beat the Jags.
Okay. So that's so yes is the answer.
Yes. Yes, they're in. Yes.
Okay. So the Colts are going to beat the Jags. They're in. Chiefs are fighting for home field. Is that what's happening?
Yep. One seed.
Yeah. And then the 49ers are playing the Rams.
Thank you, 49ers, for not beating the Titans on that Thursday night.
Yeah. The we found out Jimmy Garoppolo actually has like a torn ligament in his throwing thumb, which is one of the reasons why he was bad against the Titans. He wants to play this week. I don't want him to play this week because injured Jimmy Garoppolo is the worst. The entire 49ers secondary is out with COVID right now.
Good time for it.
COVID. I think it's everybody but Josh Norman.
COVID outbreak. COVID.
So they benched Josh Norman last week after he got a PI call. And he is the only one who was not tested positive for COVID in the secondary. COVID.
Josh Norman. So the Niners are in it.
Just in time to go against Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham Jr., and Matt Stafford.
They just need the Saints to lose, right?
Yes.
Is that all that matters? I mean,
if the Niners lose to the Rams, which they're probably going to do, and the Saints win, then the Saints are in. But if the Saints lose, the Niners are in either way.
It's going to beat the Niners.
Yeah, he is. Watch it this week on Fox.
Cooper. He fills what, up his cup.
Do the Niners. I was going to say, do the Niners play the 1 o'clock game?
Yeah, they move so the games to their the same time.
Same. Yeah, so, that's because so we kind of talk about it. How flexing it to the same games at the same time makes it so much better.
It does, but I was hoping as a Niners fan, because the Falcons-Saints game was in the morning, I was hoping that it would be out of the way. And so if the Saints lost, the Niners could just kind of
if to say
sit everyone,
put in Trey Lance, lost. Like, you know, whatever. It doesn't even matter. I want to see how long you can go. Let's ride this out.
Well, keep giving him new material to go after.
Give me some new material.
Let's see. Anything else happen in the NFL?
Anything else happen?
You guys had a problem with Jamar Chase. I'll tell you that much.
Chiefs got screwed because they still have Daniel Sorensen covering the deep pass, but he's really old and he's wide. He can't do it.
The night game, though, the Sunday night game, that's for the playoffs. That's like Chargers and Raiders, right?
Raiders, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope to God. I am sorry, Oregon Twitter listeners of this. I get it. You want the Chargers to me.
Anti-Herbert guy over here.
I don't want any part of the Chargers. Give me the Raiders, because I've seen the Chiefs play the Chargers and the Raiders both twice this year. Yeah, the Chargers are a tough out. I think Mahomes has passed for like 10 touchdowns in two games against the Raiders this year. I want the Raiders to win. Let's just get an easy home win to the second round. Let's just, because they're not getting the number, they're not getting the one seed. Titans aren't losing to the Texans, so.
I mean, you don't got faith in Davis Mills to fucking light him up?
No, I think he could. I think Davis Mills could, but I don't, I'm not betting on it. The NFL is weird. The Texans did beat the Titans like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, Mills was like on a super good run before they played San Francisco last week. You know the Niners drew your division next year, King?
Huh?
The Niners drew your division next year.
Oh, good luck.
So, yeah, for the schedule.
And yeah, because you're going to have to face Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Yep.
Herbert and the Chargers.
Yep.
Carr and the Raiders. Yep. And Aaron Rodgers and the Broncos.
Good luck to your Niners.
You know who else they play on top of that?
Win four.
You know who else they drew next year AFC on top of that division? Fucking Tampa Bay.
You are going 0-5.
The Niners are going to win like good four luck, games San Fran next year.
Trey Lance better figure it the fuck out.
Uber.
This has been an amazing last 5 minutes, I gotta tell you.
The Colts, no one.
You know what this is, Ski? This is like Taylor, when you're hosting a radio show and you have like your headphones on and the producer's talking in your ear while you're talking.
That's how you're talking.
But the Chiefs are better when the bus
can't be good
plays.
To listen to.
He's not good.
This can't be enjoyable. There's no.
It might be. Who knows?
Hey, maybe we found a weird niche in a podcast world of like simultaneous conversations going on at the same time.
Weird ASMR thing.
Hip. So Ski says niche. What do you say?
I say niche.
I'm a niche guy.
You're a niche guy?
Of course you are. You're a GIF guy, fucking weirdo.
Well, that's what the guy who created it says it's called.
Gosh, you're just wrong all the time. What's that like?
Yeah, 2 + 2, it equals 4. You guys say it equals 3. Get out of here. Niche.
That's good stuff. All right.
Are you a Crick guy or a Creek guy then?
Oh, I'm a Creek guy. If you say Crick, because some Missouri roots.
Missouri.
So surely. If someone says Crick, okay, it doesn't fire off the alarms. But you have to be from somewhere where Crick is applicable. Here, where we live in the southern Willamette Valley, it's Creek. It's not a Crick. Don't say Crick. It's a Creek.
But we could
say. You
say
crawdads or crawdids?
We say program now.
We do say program.
I think we got to start pivoting to Crick.
We do say program.
You want to know what? That's a good point. That's a good point.
Got to make the new ball coach feel at home, right?
Got to go to the Crick for the crawdids. Yeah, you're right. You are right, because that's how the program works.
Again, King just being wrong all the time. What's that
I
like?
I admitted it. Hey, listen,
There's a 0% chance Lanning says niche, though.
He doesn't say niche. He says niche. Dan Lanning says niche. He probably says crypto.
Niche sounds problematic.
Like, well, I think niche could also. I think niche is niche like a lice thing too.
I don't know.
I think you have lice, and I think like the eggs might be niches.
Wow.
Niches is even more suspect.
Yeah, you cannot say niches either.
Niches ain't shit, but hoes and tricks.
Man, I went to the forest. I just cannot get these niches off my back. That's a pull quote. All right, what's let's see our list. Let's get to our list. I believe I came up with the list idea today. So Reser Stadium going to get demolished tomorrow to make way for the new west end of the stadium. And so our top three is going to be best Oregon wins at Reser / Parker Stadium. And so should I start? I can start.
Sure.
I'm going to start with 1994 because it got Oregon to the Rose Bowl. Yeah, do the sound effect. We need the sound effect. Do you have it? Thank you. I can't keep talking without the sound effect. Got Oregon to the Rose Bowl. It was the beginning of the program, right? Like nothing before 94 happened. So it's the beginning of why we're doing a podcast, essentially, you know? Like, we wouldn't be doing this if Oregon wasn't good at football, right? Probably.
Is Oregon good at football?
They're average. I mean, they're good. They're good in the Pac-10, the Pac-12.
Yeah.
That counts for something.
Something.
So that's my three, is 1994.
Right. Well, I got 94 as well.
Dino Filio's barbecues. Yeah, we might be in the same order too.
If you got 08 and 10 as well, then yeah. I'm gonna have to try to dig something up here.
Let's face it. Do you remember anything before the 94 Civil War?
No, I was
under
10.
Like a child, exactly. Yes. So
I'm a child.
I'm a child.
Never seen that movie.
Line of Billy Zane. You say you don't want to see that movie. You got to see it just for that line.
I guess so. I guess I do.
Do you need the whole culmination of that movie for that line to hit?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I got to see it in context, right?
Yes. Yes. Well, my number three isn't actually an Oregon versus Oregon State game. It is the 1996 game between Arizona State and Oregon State. ASU went to the Rose Bowl that year at, I think, 11-0 and almost won the national title. And the Beavers led 14-6 at half. And they lost 29-14.
That's good stuff. Were you there?
I was in front of 29,946 people. And that number is a lie. It was 19,000.
I was going to say that's a sellout at Parker too, right?
Yeah, it was a total lie. But yeah. Jake Plummer. Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He was pretty good. Keith Poole, pretty good.
So we have already revised our list.
That's my only revision.
Okay. I was going to say, like, it's okay. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like.
I don't have OSU versus, like, Fresno State or something.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, it's not an Oregon win. So, whatever. I don't care. Okay. Number two is 2010. Because it's the 12-0. It created the 12-0 t-shirts, right? And that's why, obviously, is mostly because of that. And that's the game. It was the chips, right? Is that the one with the chips?
Yeah,
because it was the Fiesta Bowl.
Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, so they like dump chips all over the field.
What was the coach's first name?
His name was Charles. I know, my bad. And wasn't that the one that like Patty Mills went to or something? Like, I remember, like,
yes, yeah,
Oregon, Oregon Patty legend Mills. Patty Mills was there. Yeah.
Patty Mills,
yeah.
I sat with the stir next to
Patty Mills on my left and Bud Black on my right.
Bud Black? Damn. Yeah.
The wildest story ever.
And the stir you, Bud Black.
Of course. Oh, who doesn't know Bud Black?
Just through, like, hey, my dad knows. Yeah.
Was this NBA Patty Mills or was this St. Mary's?
This is
Patty Blazers.
Mills. Portland Trail Blazers.
When he was Patty in Mills. Portland?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you talk to Patty Mills?
I tried. He was really cool. He was awesome.
You tried, so you couldn't understand his accent.
No, I was just like, I don't know what to say. Like, hey, I think Brandon Roy's overrated. I didn't know what to say.
How a better question is, how haggard did Bud Black look?
Oh, he was haggard.
I think he was kind of around that time of like the Jim Leland level where I think he was just killing a shit ton of heaters.
Well, he was I think he was the Padres manager that year.
That's amazing.
All right.
I'm pretty sure, but yeah, he was crushing Miller Lights at the Valley Complex, I think they call it in Corvallis.
Miller Lights, by the way. That is such a 2010 Beavers like brand sponsor is Miller Light. Yeah. Fantastic.
All right, we're gonna go. Here's a little tangent for us. You saw Patty Mills and Bud Black. What name your other celebrities you've seen at Oxen or other football games? Like very close for you know, not like oh I see him from you know across the way. Or you've like been like right up next to.
I mean Dwayne Wade.
Yeah. So, well, were you close to him though?
I was.
Okay. And so that
he was the only one. I wasn't close to Carmelo or LeBron.
Or Brian.
Yeah. No, I just took a piss. It was like close to Dwayne.
That's funny.
And his 17 million, cartel around him.
And so all of my interactions were like in the press box. And so they were all, they would be all like ESPN
writers people. And things.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
I guess I would say on that note.
So Chris Myers would be like the closest one I got to and saw. Yeah.
I guess I would say I did take a gator. You know what a gator is?
The neck thing over your face? Or a yeah, gator driving?
Which the one gator driving thing.
Yeah.
I did take Shelly Smith up on a gator into the press box with a little fan for Keith Jackson. Utah one year.
Did you not try to say? Did you not try to say you want to bring that little fan in for Keith to get in there?
I was just following.
They weren't letting you within. They weren't letting you within 10 feet of Keith.
No, not even close.
I take that back. The biggest celebrity I ever was next to was Aaron Fentress.
To just end the podcast after that?
Yeah, we're done. We're just done. Yeah.
I love clearly a joke, and King was not here for it.
Worse.
He hates it so much.
I don't even want to say who I saw now. I don't even want to say. End this bit now. It's over. I'm not saying who I saw, so we're done.
Who'd you see? I want to hear.
Standing in line at the ATM, guy right behind me. I turn around, speaking of the stir. The stir's standing there waiting for me to grab some cash. I look over at him. He's kind of like wide-eyed. Like I'm like, what the fuck's going on? I turn around and Rob McElhaney is standing right behind me in line at the ATM. And I turn around and, you know, stir grabs a picture with him and I, you know, say what's up kind of thing.
Whoa.
Is that at the Tennessee game?
This was at the Tennessee game.
Yep, because I saw him and I can't remember.
Caitlin Olsen, his wife.
Caitlin Olsen, yeah.
That's
yeah.
why they were there. But yeah,
yep.
He just some, nobody knew who the fuck he was either. Just standing there right behind me in line, had like a beanie on and no one batted an eye at him.
Holy shit. Honestly, that's a better story than anybody else.
My Bud Black.
better than Dwayne Wade.
I do like Bud Black, though.
That is good. That is good. Sitting next to Bud Black and Patty Mills, that is the most the random
stir. I mean, if you just know who the stir is.
Oh, yeah. A stir is the common denominator there.
Former Washington State baseball coach. The stir.
There you go.
I'm trying to think of another, like, MLB manager that I would, like, sitting next to Rand and be like, oh, that's that guy. You know, it's like, oh.
Like all major league managers would be like that. Like if you randomly sat next to him, they'd look like a haggard old dude who smokes heaters and, you know, drinks light beer on a regular basis. Like all baseball managers look like that. They're all red. Like,
except for Dusty Baker.
Dusty.
Fair. That's fair.
We'll say. We'll continue the trend of with the stir in Seattle at a restaurant after a Mariner game, meet Bruce Bochy in the restaurant, talk to him. Yeah.
Call him Bochy.
Definitely called him. Said, "What's up, Coach Boach?"
Oh, the Boach.
That's wonderful.
And Bruce Bochy has the biggest head in the world.
Baby,
that does not surprise me at all. Yep,
biggest head I've ever seen.
Yeah,
because he always seemed wearing like baseball hats ever.
He
was sans baseball hat and just he had a fucking melt.
What I was gonna say is like you can see that his head is big on TV, and TV makes like people's heads smaller. And so that doesn't surprise me. He's got like an 8.5 dome.
That's what I say when I watch porn with my wife. TV makes the heads.
Oh God, here's some breaking news that just came on my phone.
Thank you for changing the topic, Steve.
I'm changing it to baseball. I'm keeping it on baseball. So apparently ESPN is giving A-Rod his own Manning Cast style Sunday night baseball show.
Why?
Kill me now. Kill me now.
Don't care. He's bad.
Kill me
nobody's
now.
Nobody's going to watch that. Like people don't watch baseball anyways.
But no one wants to watch A-Rod talking. He's not interesting. At least the Mannings have like some good back and forth with each other and guests. A-Rod's a dud.
By the way, the Manning shit is not interesting either. Like it's boring as fuck.
I like it. I think it's okay.
I like the clips from it. But if you actually watch a game of that, it is fucking boring. Like it's we're not doing it. We got a couple minutes. Let's finish.
I don't even know where we're at. But my number two is the 2000 Civil War, even though the Ducks lost, because it was a really good game. And I got fake tickets from my high school baseball coach, something Nagler. I can't remember his name. And they got kicked out because they figured out they were fake. And I wore a tie to the game. Why do you wear a tie to the game? I wore an Oregon Ducks tie to the game when I was like 16. What a loser I was. 2000 Civil War. Go Beavs.
You got kicked out?
Yeah, because they figured out my ticket was fake because he printed it out.
So kicked out as in you were in there and then they found out your ticket was fake and you got kicked out?
And then some like drunk guys let me sit in the student section with them. And that was not fun wearing an Oregon tie. Yeah. I've worn a tie like 10 times since then. I wore a tie when I was 16 at a football game. That was dumb.
It wasn't very
Was I an Auburn fan or something? Like what the fuck was I doing?
All right, we got 1 minute. My number one is 2008. The Jeremiah Johnson. No! Yeah, that one. That's my favorite. I was at that game. It was the most fun I've ever had at a football game.
Great.
Yeah. Beavers won. They go to the Rose Bowl. They didn't win.
They didn't.
They did not win.
65 points said they did not.
All right, what's your one, Ski?
My number one, I guess, will now be 2016, me versus a tub of deviled egg potato salad, Reeser brand. And the man of Oregon lost that one pretty bad.
The man of Oregon lost.
That was not a W. That.
Diarrhea, cha-cha-cha.
I still to this day think, you know, the Beaver fans were slipping something on the shipments coming to Eugene.
Oh no, that's just Reeser potato salad.